Tulsi saw Shankarchuda approaching in his jeweled airplane and noticed that he was in the prime of his youth. He was handsome like Cupid, white complexioned like the champaka flower, and decorated with gems. His face resembled the full moon of autumn. His eyes looked like lotuses in full bloom, and his cheeks flashed with the glow of his earrings. A parijata flower garlanded his neck, musk and saffron anointed his body, and sandal paste perfumed his person. As he came closer, Tulsi hid her face in her shawl and smiled at him with sidelong glances. Blushing at the thought of this first meeting, she bowed her head nervously and eagerly drank in with her eyes the lotus of his face. Shankarchuda also gazed at Tulsi, who was seated on a lovely bed strewn with flowers and sandalwood. Her teeth shone like pearls. Her lips were like bimba fruit. Her nose was graceful and her complexion golden. She resembled the autumnal moon. Adding to her grace, just below the parting of her hair, was the mark of sandal paste and musk, and just below them, a mark of vermilion. She had a low yet deep navel, and below it, three lovely abdominal folds. Her palms were reddish, her fingernails were glowing, and her feet were radiant and crimson, colored with lac dye. Her glowing toenails surpassed the glow of the autumn moon, giving her an unrivaled beauty. Tulsi was adorned with lovely jingling ornaments, and the knot of hair at the back of her head was decorated with a jasmine wreath. Shark-shaped earrings adorned her cheeks, while a diamond necklace beautified her breast. She wore gorgeous bangles of conch on her arms and wrists, as well as precious jewels on her fingers. Shankarchuda sat down and said to her, "Oh, beautiful girl, whose daughter are you? And how have you come to this forest? You look most fortunate and blessed. Indeed, you are the personification of heavenly joy, the very best of women. You are a model of loveliness and can certainly bewilder even the saints." "O gracious one, why don't you speak? I am your servant, so please greet me with the melody of your speech." Her head lowered, her face smiling, the beautiful-eyed Tulsi said,
"I am the daughter of King Dharmadvaj and have been practicing asceticism here. But who are you, and why are you talking to me? If a noble man sees a virtuous woman alone, he does not talk to her, so go away wherever you please. The Shastras say that only a degraded man desires a woman. At first, a woman is sweet to a man, but later proves fatal. Though her mouth rains honey, her heart is like a jar of poison. Yes, she uses sweet words, but her heart is sharp like a razor. To achieve her own selfish ends, she is submissive to her husband. Otherwise, she is unsubmissive. While her face looks cheerful, her heart is dirty. Even the Vedas and the Puranas cannot fathom her character. A wise man never trusts a base woman. She has no friend or enemy, for all she wants are new lovers. When a woman sees a well-dressed man, she inwardly desires him, but outwardly, she appears chaste and modest. She is naturally passionate, attracts men's minds, and eagerly engages in sex. Though outwardly she hides her lust and appears modest, when she meets her lover in secret, she is ready to swallow him up. When she does not have sex with him, she feels offended, her body burns with anger, and she begins to quarrel. When her passions are fully satisfied, she becomes cheerful. When unsatisfied, morose. A woman likes a good lover more than sweet foods or refreshing drinks. She likes him even more than her own son. He is dearer to her than her life. But if the lover becomes impotent or aged, she regards him as an enemy. Quarrels and anger ensue. Then she devours him as a snake eats a rat. She is rashness personified and a mine of vices. A woman is hypocritical, obstinate, and unfaithful. Even Lord Brahma and other gods are deluded by her. She is a hindrance on the path of austerity, an obstacle to liberation, an impediment to developing faith in Lord Hari, a refuge of all delusion, and a living chain that binds men to the world. She is like a magician, and is as false as dreams. She appears to be very beautiful, but is a bucket of stool, urine, gas, and blood. When God created her, he arranged that she should become the spirit of delusion to the deluded and poison to those who desire liberation. Thus, on no account should a woman be desired, and by all means she should be avoided.
Shankarchut smiled and then answered, "O goddess, what you have said is not completely false. It is partly true and partly false. From the Creator have come chaste and unchaste women. One is praiseworthy, the other isn't. Examples of chaste women are Lakshmi, Sarasvati, Durga, Savitri, and Radha. Women who are expansions of them are auspicious, glorious, and very commendable, such as Shatarupa, Devahuti, Svadha, Svaha, Dakshina, Anasuya, Ganga, Diti, Aditi, Vedavati, etc. In every yuga cycle, these women are excellent. The heavenly prostitutes are also expansions and partial expansions of the above women, but they are not praiseworthy because they are unchaste. Women who are in the mode of goodness are virtuous and pure. The sages declare them to be excellent. But those who are in the mode of passion and ignorance are not so praiseworthy. The passionate ones are fond of sense pleasures, indulge in them, and always want to fulfill their selfish goals. Such women are usually insincere, deluded, and irreligious. Generally, they are unchaste. But women in the mode of ignorance are considered the worst. They are irresistible. A virtuous man would never court another man's wife, in either public or private. But I have come to you by Lord Brahma's command to marry you according to the Gandharva rite. In this, as you know, the bride and bridegroom meet each other of their own accord and consummate their meeting in union. No sacred rituals are necessary. My name is Shankarchuta. When the demigods see me, they flee in fear. In my previous birth, I lived in Goloka and was a cowherd boy named Sudama. I was a close friend of Sri Krishna's, one of his attendants. I was one of the 8 celebrated cowherds. Then Srimati Radharani cursed me to be born in India in a demon family. By Krishna's grace and by his mantra, I am a Jati Smara, that is, I know the history of my previous birth. You too are a Jati Smara. So you know that in your previous birth in Goloka, when Radharani caught you alone with Krishna, she became angry and cursed you to be born here in India. In Goloka, I very much wanted to consort with you, but because I feared Radharani, I did not do so. Shankarchuta stopped talking. Then Tulsi smiled and cheerfully said,
"Persons like you are famous in this world, and good women desire such husbands. You have defeated me in argument. A man who is conquered by a woman is very impure and condemned by people in general. The forefathers and the demigods regard men who are conquered by women as low and contemptible. Even their fathers and mothers mentally despise them. The Vedas say that when a child is born or a relative dies, the Brahmins are purified in 10 days, the Kshatriyas in 12 days, the Vaishyas in 15 days, and the Shudras, as well as the other low classes, in 21 days. But a man conquered by a woman always remains impure. Only when his body is burned to ashes does he become purified. Neither the ancestors nor the demigods accept from him offerings of cakes, flowers, etc. Men whose hearts are totally conquered by women acquire no fruits from their knowledge, austerities, japa, fire sacrifices, worship, learning, or fame. I tested you to determine how strong you are in knowledge. One should choose one's husband by examining a man's merits and defects. If one gives his daughter in marriage to a man devoid of all good qualifications, to an old man, to a man who is ignorant or poor, illiterate, diseased, ugly, wrathful, harsh, lame, limbless, deaf, dumb, inactive, or impotent, this sin is equivalent to the sin of murdering a Brahmin. But if one gives his daughter in marriage to a young Vaishnav who is learned, well-qualified, and peaceful, one acquires the fruits of performing 10 horse sacrifices. If one raises a daughter and then sells her out of greed for profit, he falls to the hell known as Kumbhipaka. There, for a period equal to 14 of Lord Indra's lifespans, such a sinner has to drink his daughter's urine and eat her stool, as well as be bitten by worms and crows. When this period ends, he has to be born in this world as a diseased person and earn his livelihood by selling and carrying meat.